From Midtown Studios at Allied Headquarters, this is the Allied Angle, where we take an in-depth look at current market trends with industry experts. I'm your host, Amber Guthrie with Allied Solutions. Coming up, what's new and what's on deck this year when it comes to product refund liability? Up next on the Allied Angle. Welcome to the Allied Angle, your auditory complement to Allied Solutions e-newsletter, Allied Insights. Today, I am joined by Allied's Vice President, National Markets Group, Peter Krall. Peter, we are so excited to have you in the studio today. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks, Amber. Awesome to be here. Really appreciate the time and thank you.
Of course. No, thank you. Peter specializes in optional ancillary product refund liability among financial institution clients and has presented at a variety of industry forums and events on the complexity of product refunds. In his role at Allied, he assists with distribution efforts and preparing and leading client and prospect presentations, proposals, and identifying solutions. Peter has 25 years of extensive financial institution and insurance company product development and delivery experiences, including internal financial institution marketing and distribution experience with a wide variety of products. Peter received his bachelor's degree from Winona State University in Winona, Minnesota, and is licensed in life, accident and health, credit and property and casualty insurances. He currently resides in Plymouth, Minnesota, and in his free time enjoys all things music, including listening, playing, and going to concerts with his wife and two kids. Now, Peter, before we get started and too much further, if you've been listening to the show, and I haven't warned you about this, you may know that we like to do a little segment called Accelerated Q&A, just so we can get to know you a little bit better. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
Number one, what is your proudest achievement?
Proudest achievement, I would say, has been really my family. My son got his Eagle Scout. My daughter's well on her way to a budding career as a little aspiring musician as well. And when you think of what we do here at Allied and innovation and passion and the stuff that drives innovation, I got to say I'm very proud of my family. And, you know, being here is a testament to the ability to be thankful for what we have and not only promote ourselves, our solutions when it comes to Allied, but what keeps us grounded in that pursuit. That's my family.
What three items would you bring with you if you were stuck on a deserted island?
We talked about music, right? Considering there might not be power, I'd have to have something that I could play. You know, a guitar would come to mind, right? Certainly probably some marimbas. I'm also pretty fond of the stringed instruments. So if a piano could be transported to the desert island, I think we'd have enough for a three-piece.
Three items on your bucket list.
I would definitely say traveling the world. We love to travel. Allied's afforded us a lot of opportunity to see different places, and that's been tremendous. You know, others are more simple, right? I would say loving to see the kids grow and mature. Son's heading off to college this fall, and a bucket list item would be to see him get his degree, and he wants to be a physician's assistant. And the third would be seeing my daughter, who's only in middle school, kind of progressing through those years and finding her way after would be, you know, those would be awesome things to just see.
The best piece of advice you've ever received?
If we've done something the same way, would it yield the same results? In other words, just because we're doing something the same way we have been, if we had to do it all over again, would we do it that way, right? So from an advice perspective, it's kind of motivational. It keeps the batteries charged relative to things we're doing here at Allied and kind of that constant process improvement, which for some of us would say is CPI, you know, but for me, CPI kind of means constant process improvement. So yeah, I think that advice is applicable to both work, life, and everything in between.
Perfect. So, Peter, we're talking about product refund liability today and giving kind of a quote-unquote state of the union on it. Before we get too deep, can you talk to us a little bit about what you've seen so far in Q1 and what is kind of your 30,000-foot view for the rest of the year?
Absolutely. Yeah, great question, Amber. And let's even take a step back, right? What is product refund liability? What does this mean in the marketplace? What does it mean for us as consumers? You go to a dealership, you buy a car. Most of the time, you have other products that are associated with that car, right? Mm-hmm. You can protect your loan payment using guaranteed asset protection, GAP. You can protect the vehicle with various warranty, tire and wheel, you know, image of the vehicle, some coatings, undercoating, a whole bunch of products can come with that car. Now imagine, right, like what is the product refund liability? You get a loan associated with that car in most cases, and when that loan pays off early, if you're a consumer who is doing the right thing, working hard, and you want to pay off that loan early, imagine if someone said, some of those products, like GAP, are actually refundable. So if you pay your loan off early, you're going to get a refund of the unused portion of that product in terms of a dollar and cents refund. Mm-hmm. That's the liability, right? That's the heart of product refund liability is these products sold by dealers for the right reasons, generally speaking, and to protect the consumer, protect their loan, protect their vehicle, are subject to liability considerations when that loan terminates early for whatever reason. I mentioned early loan payoff. That certainly could be because of a repossession. It could be because of a total loss, accident, theft. So there's these triggering events that then create a financial liability for the lender, the auto loan servicer, that needs to take into consideration as they're servicing these auto loans. So on a very high level, that's what product refund liability is. Whose responsibility is it to get those refunds, cancel those products? And from the lender perspective, the clients that Allied lives and breathes with every single day as our field is out there talking with these clients, there is this enormous amount of scrutiny from the regulators relative to the treatment of that product refund liability. It's huge. And really kind of to drill down with that great question, Amber, is we're seeing here in 2024 a continued scrutiny from the OCC, from NCUA, from the CFPB, from state attorney generals, Department of Financial Institutions, you name it. If it's a regulator looking at financial institutions, be assured that product refund liability is on that radar. The CFPB just last week, actually it was a little bit earlier than that, but they're fact gathering, I'd call it like a request for information of nine of the top 20 auto finance companies in the country to learn more about everything auto finance. And we certainly know of the CFPB's supervisory highlights, of which there's been five in the last 6 years that specifically talk about product refund liability. So 24 is going to continue to be an increased year of scrutiny, enforcement, and additional, I would call it, requests for information from the industry, as the CFPB has stated, to learn more about this space. It's not going away.
So when it comes to consumers, what percentage would know that if they paid it off early that they would receive a refund? How does that factor in with the regulatory elements and just making consumers aware? For instance, I wouldn't have known until I was here and dealt with this on a daily basis now.
Bingo. How many of us remember page 7 of the retail installment sales contract, the loan that we signed for at the dealership? The F&I managers, the people who sell these products, the point of sale in dealerships, they're very good at doing that. Mm-hmm. And there is even verbiage, there is even things in contracts that specify that these products are all refundable. It's a way to say, hey, if you don't like it, if the product's not right for you, you can cancel these at any point in time. When you're originating loans at 72, 84, 96 months, and you walk out of that dealership, the first thing you remember is you got your car. You're right. You're ready to go to the next thing at hand. And maybe you even remember, right, like some of these products are refundable. And maybe you remember that for the first 30, 60, 90 days. Maybe you remember there's free look periods. Well, in a 72-month loan, will you remember at month 36, month 48? Mm-hmm. Probably not. And to your answer that question very specifically, the regulators continue to find evidence that even though these products should be terminated and refunded if there's an early loan pay, they're not. So the consumer is not remembering that they have some financial responsibility themselves. And therefore, I always say it this way too, take care of your borrowers. Because if you don't, the regulators will take care of you.
That's a very good point. The last 18-ish months have been, and I'll say it's in the words of our past guest, Jack Imes, wonky with the economy, interest rates, et cetera. How are current market conditions affecting product refund liability?
Oh, Jack said it best. Love you, buddy. It continues to be wonky, right? Like we heard that, this year we'd start to see some rates taper. And then with the latest CPI data, there's more economic news coming out today. There just kind of seems to be a status quo with the rates are fine the way they are. We'll reassess. Well, I would strongly suggest, and I love the word wonky, that does not make things affordable for consumers, right? So in the next 18 months, as we almost said last year, when the rates taper, we're going to have more of this financial liability, these product refunds, come to bear. But as of yet, we're not seeing any tapering in the rates. Jack would say it better than I could. I mean, I can't speculate, we all kind of thought maybe the spring there would be. No, not anymore. Maybe the summer there will be. I'm not going to hold my breath. So it's an issue, I think, in terms of when you look at the collateral type of a vehicle and all of the lenders that are servicing those loans, there is an impending tsunami of refunds to come. Because I would even say this, the worst auto loans in our, I'll say, last 30, 40 years have all been made in the last 3 to 4 years. Mm-hmm. High price collateral at an excessive interest rate over loan terms that are in excess of 84 months. That's staggering. And a shout out to the credit unions. They're making automobile loans affordable for the average American. They just need to stretch those terms out longer than other institutions, banks or others, are willing to go. Some won't want to finance something over 60 months. But a lot of the credit unions and our clients across the spectrum of institutions we work with are very creative at keeping that loan affordable for people. And that's a shout out to the industry. It's been quite a ride.
A wonky ride. There's obviously a regulatory component factored in here. As the CFPB is very vocal, as you mentioned, on the subject, what actions are they and the NCUA taking, and what should be a top priority when dealing with increasing regulations?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we touched upon it earlier, and it deserves a little bit more of a deeper dive, Amber. It really is all centered around things that are called UDAPs, right? Unfair, deceptive, abusive acts or practices, whether it's the DFS in New York, whether it's the CFPB, whether it's the NCUA, they have all gone into how not refunding something that is due back to the consumer, regardless of the consumer remembers or not, is a UDAP. When a loan pays off early, and if you had gap, and there's unearned fees associated with that gap that are due back to the borrower, that's a pretty clear, like, you know what? They need that money back. Mm-hmm. And in today's world, we're talking gap refunds, you know, north of $400, $500. That's only going to be going up when you consider the average gap is being sold for $995 to $1,200 at a dealership, amortized over a 7 or 8 year period. You know, think about that. $1,000 after 48 months on an 84-month loan is still going to be close to a $500 refund. That's real money to real people. Mm-hmm. And I think from the CFPB's perspective, they have been crystal clear year after year after year of saying, you need to do this. So it's not so much a matter of awareness in the industry now. It's all about execution. If I was an examiner walking into a financial institution, I would just simply walk in and say, hey, show me the evidence that your borrowers got their refunds in a timely and accurate fashion. I'll be back in 2 hours. Thank you very much. That's the state of the union when it comes to the scrutiny lenders are under, auto loan services are under, to perform those necessary refunds.
So where's the holdup? I mean, if they're saying, do this, and the lenders are like, we're not exactly doing it. What is it? Is it a staffing issue? Is it our consumers don't know and we're just going to brush this under the rug? Where's the disconnect?
Yeah, where is the disconnect?
Good question.
Yeah, you know, I know Jack set a great stage for us here in 24 with the use of the word wonky. Refunds are a little bit wonky. You think about it, and the product is sold at a dealership. It's sold by a dealership who would say act as an agent, and they're selling a product that's underwritten by an insurance company or an administrator, and then that loan at the dealership is purchased by an auto loan servicer. So to answer that question, you suddenly have the old adage of following the money, right? It's sold by the dealer. A portion of that fee goes to an administrator. Then, you know, the auto loan servicer is somehow responsible for what the dealer sells. We'll always say it this way. Know what you're funding. You're buying that retail installment sales contract. You got to know what you're funding. Mm-hmm. And to your point, then, how is that effectuated, right? So whether it's the consumer borrower, whether it's the lender doing the right thing, they have to go to the administrator, say, hey, Amber paid off her loan early. She's due a refund. The administrator's like, yep, great. Here's that portion of the money. The dealership has to be aware of that. So go to the dealership, say, Amber paid off her loan early. They're hanging on to a certain portion of those dollars. You got to reconcile the totality of that refund, make sure that it meets the state and federal guidelines for the refunding methodologies, and then get Amber her money. Why the financial institutions never really had to worry about this is because prior to 2020, and it actually goes back to about 2017, 2018, there was not a lot of scrutiny around this process. Suddenly, in 2020, there was an explosion of class action lawsuits. So let's even take the regulators out of it. You know, let's take the CFPB, the OCC, NCUA, and state attorney generals even out of the equation. What we were finding was private class action lawsuits were unearthing the fact that there were a lot of Ambers out there not getting their refunds. Mm-hmm. In states where there was statutory obligation for the lender to make those refunds on behalf of the borrower. The borrower shouldn't have to lift a finger to do it. And they were finding, you know, if you miss it once, it's a mistake. We've heard our CEO say this. If you miss it more than once, it's a class action. There was an explosion of class action in 2020. And what happened after that was every regulatory institution out there started to look at this process too. In fact, there's been cases where there have been private class action settlements layered with consent orders from the CFPB. A double whammy if you're a financial institution. Mm-hmm. You're not just getting hit once for this. You can possibly be getting hit two or three times. So, like I said, it's not going away. And let's not forget too, the CFPB has gone on record. They're hiring dozens of enforcement officials just this year alone. And given their continued information pulls out of all things auto finance, again, it doesn't matter if you're a credit union bank, CFPB can come in and look at things. It's not just for institutions over $10 billion in assets. They're ramping up, and this is not going away anytime soon.
So with that, are you seeing lenders taking this more seriously then?
Or? Yes.
Good.
Absolutely. You know, this has been one heck of a time for the industry, and the hundreds and hundreds of lenders that Allied has talked to reveals an amazing amount of lenders trying to roll up their sleeves and do the right thing. The industry has always been fraught with, you could call it hyper-regulations, from overdraft protections to how you track mortgages and placement of insurance and things of that nature. This falls right in that realm. And it's you know, the highlights of my week are always getting in front of some lenders, rolling up our sleeves and just having honest discussions about the refunds. Are you doing it today? Are you not doing it today? How are you doing it? How can we help? What are your pain points? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the lenders, a lot of sympathy. Again, they didn't have to pay as much attention to this, not because they didn't want to, but because it wasn't as scrutinized in the past. Again, one could argue quite vehemently that the consumer has some obligations in financial literacy to understand what it is that they purchased and that it's refundable. But again, some states statutorily state borrowers shouldn't have to ask for refunds. When the CFPB comes in and does an examination in that regard, they're not looking at state specificity. They want uniformity and make sure you're treating all of your borrowers in an equal, equitable fashion across the board, not by state lines. So lenders are pivoting in a quick hurry. And when you take the various Allied angles, right, so too are we to meet the needs of those lenders and borrowers.
So it sounds like you, sir, are very busy.
We are, yeah. And, that, you know, there's no doubt about it, right? In terms of, again, you know, think of the totality of the marketplace out there and certainly all of the work Allied has with a gamut of solutions in the risk and recovery space, this is a very busy time. And there is no doubt that lenders appreciate, even if they don't do anything with us, they appreciate the awareness Allied brings to the table to help them think about some of these things in a different way. And again, the pivoting of Allied and the solutions that we have really allow us to have those consultative relationships with lenders, and it's a two-way street. We learn from them, and hopefully they learn a thing or two from us, and together we can do more than we could have independently.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Allied Insights e-newsletter, your one-stop shop of all industry current trends and your home for the Allied angle. Sign up at alliedsolutions.net/subscribe, or you can find the link in this show's notes. And now, back to our conversation. So dealing with these regulations and refunds obviously sounds very complicated and stressful. What's your best piece of advice to an auto loan servicer navigating the refund process?
Yeah, we kind of highlighted it a little bit earlier too. And, you know, the one comment I'll make again is know what you're funding. That means when you want to be in the business of indirect lending, which again means you're buying loans from dealerships. There's other ways to grow your indirect business with aggregators that can bring in loans and everything else. But it still starts with know what you're funding, right? You're going to have your risk appetites. You're going to have your underwriting guidelines. But then there's this huge world of all these complex financial products, right, that the dealers are selling. Typically what they're referred to in the industry to are optional ancillary products. You'll hear like OPR for an abbreviation in that space. And it's complex. The amount of products in that space are hundreds, if not thousands, when you look at the totality of the administrators and the various variations that they have of a tire and wheel or a service contract or GAP, GAP plus ADR, GAP plus a depreciation protection. There is minutiae of flavors out there with all of these things that are intended to protect the borrower and or the car, right? So when you are in the space of originating those types of loans, whether you're selling direct auto loans to your consumers or going through the indirect channel to get those loans, know what you fund. Update your dealer agreements to specify whose responsibility it is when it comes to some of this liability incurred. Make it a partnership with those dealers, with those aggregators, to ensure you have a good LOS. And I'm not talking loan origination system. I'm talking line of sight into what it is that you're funding. That kind of stuff, I think, will empower the industry, not just the finance side, not just the dealer side, not just the servicers or product providers or folks like us, but in total, if you've got better line of sight into all of those various ways that these instruments are purchased, financed, and serviced by a lender, the better. And quite frankly, that does mean updating dealer agreements. That means looking at your way of servicing that auto loan from cradle to grave and ensuring always the consumer borrower is front and center in that process.
And that may bleed over kind of to my next question here of how can servicers best plan to help to reduce their risks?
Give us a call, right? Like there is so much there. And I'm not saying that in a you know, kind of a way that's just, you know, self-promotional as much as it is. The industry is changing in such a way that, you know, from going to conferences to networking with your peers to, yes, talking to us and doing peer-to-peer conversations, lender-to-lender conversations, I think is a great way to understand where the gaps, pun intended, exist. And truly, I would say Allied's done a tremendous job with our clients, with the networking that we do, with these types of forums to encourage those discussions. I think it was just last week we hosted an industry call. There were hundreds of lenders on that call. And we're still in the process of following up. And that's a good thing because there were a lot of questions we couldn't get to in our specified time. So in conclusion on that point, let's do this. Let's do this. Let's have these conversations, and even better if they're face-to-face. I think we can really help each other make it a better world for the totality of auto loan financing. And let's be clear too, auto loans represent like the third largest obligation of debt in this country. You got mortgage, you got credit cards, you got auto loans. This is a big deal. And cars are still vitally important for most folks. So let's just do the right thing. Take care of each other so the regulators don't have to take care of us.
So innovation has been a very large keyword, bingo word for, I don't think just Allied, but everybody in general the past year or so. How does innovation play a part in managing product refunds?
Oh, innovation is so key. The solution that we really engineered when it comes to Refund Plus Just this morning, I was on a call with our broader teams, and we're looking at data in different ways, right? I think innovation is not just key to product refund liability, but allied as a whole. It's inherent in our DNA, and it has to be. The state of the union and how quickly some of these rules and regulations have changed. There's state legislation that's been introduced this year, over 30 pieces of gap legislation already. We have to innovate and continue to do so in order to meet the needs not only of our clients, but the regulators at hand. And, you know, you think about, like, innovation in terms of what it is we're working on, the amount of data that needs to change hands for us to pursue these things is enormous, but it's also getting less and less. Mm-hmm. So from an innovation perspective, imagine us tying things just simply to a VIN, the vehicle identification number, and being able to have insights into all of the products that were associated with that VIN. And the lender, right? The lender, maybe all they need to know from us at the end of the day is that, yep, we've taken care of all of the optional ancillary products. The borrower got their refunds directly. And here's an audit trail for you, lender, so you can simply check the box on your next exam that this has been done for you. That doesn't happen without innovation. And so over the years now that we've been doing this, and I remember our good friends here and doing a similar broadcast years ago, we were just getting started. In many ways, I say the same thing. But now we're just getting started, plus a lot more people, a lot more resources, a lot more years of experience of doing this, and I will still say it still feels like we're just getting started, because innovation keeps us sharp. It keeps us on our toes, and no day goes by here where it's exactly the same. And that's a pretty cool thing.
How would you like to see innovation change for the future when it comes to managing those refunds?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel the lenders have taken it on the chin. I feel the lenders have had this responsibility of servicing something else someone sold. And therefore, I think the lender, on many ways, I'll say it this way, almost needs to be absolved of the continued scrutiny the regulators are putting on them. Now, I say that somewhat, you know, cautiously, because the financial services area always seems to be an area that is hyper-regulated. Does that pivot need to happen for the dealers? Does that shift need to happen to the dealers or even the administrators and the filings of their products? I would say, you know what? When it comes to the administrators and the issuers of the GAP policies or VSCs, they're already regulated. Those products have to be filed and approved in the states in which they're doing business through the DOIs, the Department of Insurances. Dealers? Who regulates the dealers? Essentially, it's the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission. And let's make sure we emphasize that in addition to the OCC, the NCUA, the CFPB, the FTC has taken a hard, long look at this too. A lot of cross-pollination between the FTC and the CFPB over the last several years. And the FTC is looking at their CARS Act for 2024. They're looking very closely, Amber, at how these products are sold, what they're being sold for, how they're, you know, the signatures required in terms of the borrower in the F&I office. The dealers are coming under greater scrutiny. So I'm not saying that that's a reprieve for the lenders. In fact, what I'm saying is that's an enhancement so that all of us can do the right thing. And if that's being done consistently across the board, let's get to the business of selling, servicing, and taking care of those consumers instead of just reacting to all of the, I'll just call it the intense scrutiny of the regulators that continue to bear down upon the marketplace.
So you have boots on the ground, you are deep in the field. What are some of the top challenges that you're hearing from clients, and what do you do and how do you help them? What do you
guys do them? Oh, it's, yeah, the top challenges, I would say, always oscillate around data. That's why I referenced a little bit earlier. Imagine if you could just tie everything to a VIN, mm-hmm. maybe a unique identifier, and the whole gamut of allied solutions can come to bear on that process. That'd be pretty darn cool. So what do the lenders face, right? They've never had to worry about this. They haven't indexed all of those retail installment sales contracts. They have imaged copies. They may not know what all of the optional ancillary products are on that note that they purchased from the dealer. There's this innovation that has to happen. And take a look again at what Allied's doing when it comes to intelligent document processing or other innovations that are allowing us to minimize the heavy lift on the lender's part. That's the biggest thing. A lender will say, boy, we think we can kind of just do this on our own. And then they may or may not have processes to validate their approach. They may not know, for example, in the broader world of refunds, is it in your best interests if there's a total loss, consumer suffered a total loss or a theft of their car, to file a gap claim if it had gap, or to refund the gap? That we've got experts in our claim department and our refund department who can help a lender not have to figure that stuff on their own. I know it's a long-winded answer to the question. There's a variety of pain points that the lenders are experiencing relative to keeping up with the regulations, ensuring compliance, and at the end of the day, making sure they're doing, again, the right thing for the borrower. Now, I'll point to a total loss versus a gap refund again. What's in the best interest of the consumer? You're going to need somebody that has expertise to make that determination. But at the end of the day, if you can prove that you're doing the right thing, the best possible outcome for your borrower, that's a good day when a regulator walks in the door.
Peter, you have been so informative and wonderful today. Before we wrap this up, do you have any parting words that you would like to give our listeners?
Yeah, we said it before, Amber, and it's not quite as elegant as the word wonky, right? But when it comes to the intense scrutiny around the process of product refund liability, again, I'll say, take care of your borrowers or the regulators will take care of you. And that should be inviting of a conversation, if nothing else, about your current state of the union. What are you doing? How are you doing it? Where are your pain points? It'll be interesting to revisit this topic throughout the course of, say, 25. We know there are some industry publications coming. I already referenced the CARS Act. The CFPB is going to be publishing its findings here in first quarter or early second quarter on the top 9 finance companies that they keep drilling down for information on. This, I know I stressed it, and it's a little bit redundant, but this is a topic that is going to continue to have a lot of attention, heat, and scrutiny. So let's have a conversation and figure out how we can help each other.
Well, this sounds like something that we definitely need to circle back around again in about a year and see what the market is like. So thank you again for joining us. Please come back. It has been wonderful.
Pleasure to be here. Amber, keep rocking. Love this. Thank you.
Tune in next month when we sit down with Allied Senior Vice President, Risk Management Operations, Doug Falvey, to talk about the challenges, opportunities, and how innovation plays a critical role in the wild and wonderful world of risk management operations.